الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين سيدنا ونبينا حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتخبين المنتجبين واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين. We were discussing about the صفات الإمام, the attributes which are required for an Imam. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we discussed the first one, which is ismat, infallibility. The second one is what we're going to discuss from the second one onwards today, and that is about shuja'at. Means bravery. It is one of the compulsory attributes of every prophet and imam to be shuja' and brave. Shuja'at has an Islamic definition. Shuja'at and bravery doesn't mean somebody who can lift a heavy stone or a heavy weight. Shuja'at actually is what we learn in the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, where he says, Ashja'un nas. Most brave of all the people is the one who overcomes his desire. So overcoming our hawa nafs, overcoming our desires, is the Islamic definition of shuja'at. Shuja'at is not like some may think you can lift some stone or lift some heavy weight. So you are called a brave person. Shuja'at has an Islamic definition, and that is, we are powerful and strong enough in our spirituality so we can, anytime in our life when we encounter inclinations towards our wishes and desires due to either quwwatun shahawiyya or shahawat or quwwatun ghadabiyya, that's how the ilm al-akhlaq says. These are two reasons why we end up getting dragged towards the sins, either towards because of the shahawat, the desires, or the ghadab and anger. So anyone, when he faces these two scenarios in his life, he's empowered, he's spiritually powerful enough to overcome both of these two reasons of the sins. He is called a shuja' person and brave person in Islamic definition of the word. So every imam must be shuja', and this obviously includes shuja'at from the personal desires, as we are talking about right now. Also, it includes shuja'at against the enemies of Islam. He should be brave enough in front of them, the tawahid, the tahut. Shuja'at also includes against events and happenings, various kinds of situations that happen in our life, hawadith, that a person is powerful enough to stand, withstand, be resilient in front of all of those situations. And also, it includes the courage to stand for the hukm of Allah. So, a mujtahid, we said the same thing about the mujtahid as well. Mujtahid has to be having the shuja'at, shuja'atul fatwa, how the scholars say. He must have the courage to issue the hukum or the fatwa in front of the enemies, regardless of what anyone can say. So the fatwa and hukum, the reality, the truth has to be said. The haq has to be said. We have the right in Islam to, you know, to live our own life and to stand for our values and to, you know, practice of our religion according to how our Creator has commanded. So issuing the fatwa and the hukum, talking about and standing for the hukum of Allah, that's what the Imam has to do. Amar bil ma'roof, nahi anil munkar. Isn't that right? If the Imam doesn't have the shuja'at and courage to stand for the hukum of Allah, he cannot do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar. The whole religion will collapse if Amr and Nahi, two fundamental duties of Islam, are not performed. According to Imam al-Khomeini, Ridwanullah alayh, basically the strongest of the dala'il and evidences that he has furnished for walayatul faqih in the time of Ghaybat is not about related to basically al-adillatul manqula, the narrated evidences. We have the narrated evidences, isn't that right? And we have the adilla al-manqula, and we have the intellectual evidences, which is basically al-adillatul aqliya. So the intellectual evidences is what is the most, the strongest of all the evidences that he has furnished, which he says that in Islam, that these two duties, Amr and Nahi, bidding the good and forbidding the bad, can never be neglected. This is the intellectual evidence. The whole Shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sent down on the Prophet to be installed. How can it be installed without the government? So the whole Sharia has to be involved. Ma'ruf has to be installed. Munkar has to be stopped. Amr and Nahi can never cease to exist. Even in any situation, you cannot imagine Amr bin Ma'ruf is not wajib on you. It may be the lowest level, but it will still be wajib. So Amr and Nahi are two duties which can never be neglected. And it cannot be, Amr and Nahi can never be performed completely without the hukumat and government. Unless and until you have a hukumat, you can never install, you can never practice, you can never implement Amar and Nahi in the complete form. So we see in Dua al-Iftitah, which is related to Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, that we read in the nights of the month of Ramadan, we say that talking about the Imam, we are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hatta la yastakhfi. Isn't it right? Hatta la yastakhfi bi shay'in min al-haq. مخافة أحد من الخلق. So haq can be completely installed and presented when the government is there. When hukumat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam happens, that's where you can expect haq can be completely and perfectly installed in the society. Without the hukumat, you cannot expect. So Amr and Nahi requires, this is the job of the Imam. Imam and Mawla and Wali has to stand for the hukum of Allah, and this shuja'at is compulsory. It's the compulsory condition. Some of the levels of shuja'at in Islam are genetic and not in our control, whereas some other levels of shuja'at are within our reach. Okay, shuja'at has two stages. It's mentioned in the Ilm al-Akhlaq in detail. Which of the sifat are iktisabiyya, can be earned? Which of the sifat are wahabiyya, that means gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? These, all the akhlaq, sifat and khisal of nafs are elaborately mentioned in Ilm al-Akhlaq. So some of the levels of shuja'at are genetic, and it's not in the control. That's the way it will be. Whereas some other sifat, the right to choose haq from batil. That's within our control. We all, every human have that much shaja'at inbuilt in him, that he can always choose haq from batil and khair from shar, and choose the right path and ignore the wrong path. This much courage is already given. If that was not there, we would not be mukallaf from Allah's behalf. Isn't that right? So the basic level of shaja'at is found in every human being. So no one can complain to Allah that you made us mukallaf to do all these wajibs, but we are unable to have that much courage. Now that is there. Now the higher level, some higher levels of shaja'at are certainly genetic. If you recall the story where Imam Amir Mumin alayhi salam asked his brother Aqil ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam to find out a family where a girl from a family which is grey, isn't that right? So Imam Ali alayhi salam was planning for the birth of Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. So that's why he married Hazrat Fatima al-Kilabiyya, whom we call Ummul Baneen. So basically this is genetic. There are certain levels which are genetic, right? So likewise, if you remember the incident in the Battle of Jamal, when Imam Ali salam handed over the alam to Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya and asked him to move forward. Move forward means move forward towards the enemy. There were thousands of arrows coming. It's a hard job when you have thousands of arrows coming toward you. And so, but Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya started to move forward, but then all the huge number of arrows are coming, he started to retreat back, further back, till he came very close to where Imam Ali alayhi salam was standing. And somebody put a hand on his shoulder, and when he turned around, it was his father, Imam Ali alayhi salam. And he took the alam from his hand and he said to Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya that رَكَتْكَ عِرْقُمْ مِنْ أُمِّكْ. That means one nerve from your mother has reached you. That means this lack of courage is not from me. I don't have lack of courage. Lack of courage is from your mom. So then he gave the alam to Imam al-Hasan alayhi salatu wasalam, and Imam Hasan, despite the fact the arrows were still coming, the enemies didn't stop the war. Imam Hasan alayhi salam took the alam and he went straight up till next to the camel. Isn't that right? So he ripped apart all the sufuf and ranks of the enemy and he did his job. So Battle of Jamal was actually, the hero of the Battle of Jamal is Imam Hasan al-Mustafa alayhi salam. He's the one who basically managed to win the whole battle, obviously under the imamat of Amir Mumin alayhi salam. But he's the one who went forward. So certain levels of shaja'at are genetic, and there are certain other levels which are required to do, to implement, to obey the taklif al-shar'i, the divine duties. That's in the control of every human being. So please don't mix those two levels. See, they are two different darajat. So Imam must have the shaja'at as a compulsory condition in every imam and every prophet as well, and likewise every marji' must be having the shaja'at, and the leader, waliyul faqih, likewise, obviously. So let's move forward to the next sifat, which is zuhd. Shall I erase all this? keeping away from all the worldly attachments. Zohd is one of the greatest spiritual attributes. Obviously, like so many other spiritual attributes, it has darajat and levels. It's not one standard level of Zohd. There are so many levels of Zohd. And Zohd is best defined by Amir Mumin alayhi salam, obviously in the light of the verse of Holy Quran, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا آتَكُمْ وَلَا. These are two words, two sentences which best define the concept of Zohd in its Islamic value of Zohd in the comprehensive way. وَلَا تَفْرَحُ بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ. Don't be sad what departs you from this world. Things of belongings of this dunya, anything that you lose from this maddi and material things of this world, don't be sorrowful over that. You lost your briefcase, so what? I mean, let's suppose you lost your briefcase, you lost your chair, you have your sofa set damaged, so what? Anything that belongs to this dunya, if you happen to lose and to miss or to, you know, anything of this dunya departs you or leaves you or gets, you know, no longer stays with you, this is not what we are supposed to be sorrowful about. You know, وَلَا تَفْرَحُ, and don't be rejoiced about what Allah gave you. The things material, the lost belongings of this dunya that you get, any material gain that you get, don't be rejoicing over that. Any material thing that you lose, don't be sad over that. This dunya and its material belongings are already bound to be lost anyway, and it's subjected to fana and total destruction and annihilation. Nothing of this world is anyway going to remain. So why are you happy if you get something of this? Oh, now I've got such a nice car. This is not something you're supposed to rejoice about. Because if you rejoice, it shows that you don't have Zohd. You did not understand the value of Zohd yet. If any person who has Zohd will never rejoice about any material belongings of this dunya. And anybody who loses a material belonging will never be sad over that. Things of this dunya were anyway, they were bound to leave you. And you leave them and they leave you. Isn't that right? Instead, what in Islam, what we are supposed to do, we need to be sorrowful of what of which thing of among the ma'naviyat, the metaphysical blessings of Allah, are we losing, and we should be rejoicing again on which of the metaphysical blessings of Allah, ma'naviyat, are we gaining from this dunya. Yeah, this is what we are supposed to be caring about. Look at the direction that Islam provides for a person, the right direction to focus on in our approach, in our happiness and our sadness. So this is the best definition which Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam has given in the light of the what the Holy Quran has taught us. So this is how we understand the concept of Zohd, the best and the shortest description. So Imam has to be, every Imam has to be Zahid, having the Zohd, keeping away from the Zarq and Bark of this dunya, and Awarid the dunya, temporary belonging of this dunya, the glitter and glamour of this world, and he should be basically Hur in the real sense, they're free, he should be a free person.
really a free person in the real sense of the word,
free from getting attached to the material belongings, and unpenetrable.
So nothing of this dunya can have any influence over him. So
he's unpenetrable. Isn't that right? And unsubmissive.
This is what's going to happen if you have zuhd.
You will be really free. You will not be attached. You will be attached with the hereafter, with Allah and His metaphysical blessings. You will be unpenetrable, so nothing of this world, positively or negatively, coming towards you or departing you, will have any impact on you. So you are unpenetrable. This dunya has no impact, positively or negatively, on you. And unsubmissive. You won't submit. You won't compromise over your principles and submit for the sake of the material belonging of this dunya. You will never submit. Isn't that right? These are some of the signs. Some of the signs of a zahid person. And obviously, when you are free and unpenetrable and unsubmissive, then that's how you can, this is the way how you can protect yourself from inhiraf, these deviations. Because you are really free, you will not be deviated from the straight path and from the batil. You will be protected from the batil. So no batil and falsehood can have any impact on you. And you will always continue to be steadfast. And no money of the rich people can purchase you. Isn't that right? Because you're not going to be submitting yourself to any of the material belongings. So money cannot purchase you. So zuhud blocks the imam from compromising over batil or inhiraf and deviations away from the straight path or money or material belongings of this dunya. Is that right? It's a very important component. So now let's go to the zuhud of Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam, which is he had the highest level of zuhud. He did give the talaq to this dunya, isn't it right? 3 times. And we all know that there is no ruju in Islam. After the 3 talaq, you cannot do the ruju, you cannot turn back to your wife. So he gave talaq to the dunya 3. He was totally turning away from its material belongings and pleasures, and never penetrated, never submitted, completely free from all that. He used to in Kitabul Gharat, it has been narrated that وَلَمْ يَتَوَرَّدْ فِي فَعْلٍ دُنْيَوِي. He never fell into any worldly thing or action. Hatta kana so much that he used to kana yakhtimu, he used to seal أوعيت خبزه فقيل له في ذلك. When somebody asked him about that, why is he doing that, why is he sealing the bags of his bread, and so he replied, that's the hadith of Imam alayhi salam. He said, أخافه, I'm afraid, أن يضع فيه
أحد ولدي أداما.
I'm afraid this is from Kitab al-Gharar,
Volume 1. On page 81 to 82.
So Imam Ali alayhi salam said that I am afraid that one of my children, in other words, may put some water in the bread. So because he didn't want one of his children to put water in the bread, and wants his bread to remain that hard and stiff, so he used to seal the bags of his bread. This is how he is abstaining from this dunya, for in the least possible pleasure,
things that these are things which are unthinkable for regular people, is very much unthinkable, isn't that right? So this much abstinence from the dunya and its pleasures, this is the highest example, one of the highest examples that the world has seen. So sometimes Imam Ali Islam used to break his own bread by his knee. Isn't that right? Because his hand cannot break it. The same hand which was used for breaking the door, for lifting the door of Khaybar, Imam Ali sometimes cannot break his bread. He used to break the bread with his knee. Isn't that right? So this is how, this is how he is eating that kind of bread, which is actually one of the persons came recently coming to the city, and he visited the city and he obviously was hungry, so he met with Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali offered him the same bread that he has for himself. This stranger, when he saw this kind of hard bread, he cannot eat it. He started to avoid, just leave. Obviously he cannot eat this bread. So Imam Ali alayhi salam guided him to go towards the house of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, because Imam Hassan had food for the people, the poor people. He had food in his house. Anybody can show up anytime and eat food. Open invitation and open food for everyone. Imam Ali guided him towards basically his own house. Imam Hassan's house is his own house. And this person went there, and obviously he met with Imam Hassan alayhi salam. He got good food for the poor people. And he started to eat. He's eating something and putting something next to him, hiding something next to him. Eating something little bit, putting something next to him. So Imam Hassan saw this situation. He inquired, and this person told Imam Hassan, well, actually I met with another man, such and such person, and he offered me the bread. I could not eat that hard bread, so he guided me towards this address, so I came here to you. And so I am just putting a little bit here, so I can, after eating, I can take this food to him. And then Imam Hassan al-Islam told him that this whole ma'idah, this whole sufra and food actually belongs to him. This is his. But this is obviously, so this is how Imam Ali is serving the poor people, but for himself, how much zuhud he has, that he is keeping away from even the smallest of the pleasures. So when Imam Ali alayhi salam and the rest of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and including Hazrat Fidda salamullahi alayha, gave away their bread to the miskeen and yateen and asir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed the entire Suratul Dahr in the Sha'an and Fadilat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So this is another example of the zuhud of Amir Mumin and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Please say salawat.
I heard that one of the scholars were telling me that Samahat al-Wali al-Faqih, Hafizahullah, he had some invitation in his house. Some people were invited, and one scholar was telling me, I'm doing his naql al-qawl, that his own son came out from inside the house and he sat over the food, so he asked him to leave, you go eat what is there inside the house, this is not for you, it's for the guests only. So they we have our great scholars who basically are practicing the concept of Zuhud in Islam. The next sifat and attribute for every imam has the ilm. Now, for every wasi of a prophet, the vicegerent of any prophet must have the knowledge. And this, any person who is the wasi after a rasul, a messenger. Now, the book that this, if the messenger has been given a book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the obviously the nuraniyat of this messenger is equal to the nuraniyat of the book. That's equal to the nuraniyat of that book. And the wasi who is representing this messenger after him, his nuraniyat should also be equal to the nuraniyat of the book of the messenger for whom he is serving as the wasi. That's the way it works. So the nuraniyat of Prophet Musa alayhi salam has to be equal to the nuraniyat of Tawrat. The nuraniyat of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, has to be equal to the nuraniyat of the Bible, the real Injil that was given to him. The nuraniyat of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam has to be equal to the Sahifatu Ibrahim, which was given to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and so on and so forth. And the nuraniyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is also in sync with the nuraniyat of the Quran, which is the most superior of all the books. So that's a very concrete reason why the nuraniyat of Rasulullah is superior than the nuraniyat of the previous messengers, because Quran is afdal than the previous books. And every Rasul who receives a book, he is representing his book. He should practice the nur of the book to the fullest, and his soul represents that book. Practically, he's a walking and talking book, walking and talking Quran. So we call our Rasul and Ahlul Bayt to be Al-Quranun Natiq, the talking Quran, isn't that right? So the Nuraniyat is in sync with the Nuraniyat of Quran. And Quran is a book which is Muhaymin. Muhaymin, this is one of the titles of Quran. Quran is Muhaymin. It has Haymana, it has an authoritative and corrective control. Authoritative and corrective control over all the previous books. So whatever changes and deviations people's desires have done in the previous books, you have to look at the Quran as a yardstick and criteria in Mizan to find out what were the mistakes that people have made and added or reduced from their books. The Quran is the yardstick to correct the mistakes of the previous, of the mistakes done by the people towards the previous books. And it has an authoritative supervision over the books. So Quran is supervising over all the books, and that's, we say Quran is, has the ilmul haqa'iq. That means the knowledge of all the realities. Quran includes the knowledge of all realities. So Asif bin Barqiya is the wasi of Prophet Sulaiman. Prophet Sulaiman, Solomon, his wife gerent is Asif bin Barqiya. Isn't that right? And he has the knowledge of what Quran says, ilmun min al-kitab. قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب. A little bit of the knowledge of the book. Asif bin Barqiya had a little bit of the knowledge of the book, and because of the little bit of the knowledge of the book, he managed to bring the throne, the arsh, the throne of the Queen of Saba, Queen of Sheba, how they call it in English, Malaka of Saba, in the blinking of an eye. Isn't that right? So he said, when Ifrit min al-jinn said, أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَقُومَ مِنْ مَقَامِكَ. I'm going to bring the throne before you stand up from your place, in other words. So Prophet Sulaiman didn't like this option. That was too late. So then Quran says, قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ. The person who has a little bit of the knowledge of the book said, أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ. I'm going to bring it to you before your eye blinks, in other words. So before the blinking of the eye. So this is a fraction of a second. And he said it, and it was there. Obviously, it's a fraction of a second. So as soon as he said, it's there. So this is what is going to happen if somebody has a little bit of the knowledge of the book. Little bit of the knowledge. And then in the hadith, in Kitab al-Kafi, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, ilmu al-kitab wallahi kulluhu indana. That means the knowledge of the entire book, I swear to Allah, completely is with us, in other words. So the whole book, so the knowledge of the entire book is with them. So someone who has a little bit of the knowledge can do this kind of miracle. So someone who has the knowledge of the entire book of Quran and the entire book, obviously, completely, they have all the haqa'iq. They have control and authority over everything in the universe. It's under their command because they have knowledge of the entire Quran in their control, and because they are practicing the entire Quran. Why do they have the knowledge of Quran? Because they have amal over the ilm. They are alim bil, you know, amil bil ilm. They are practicing the knowledge of Quran. Because they are practicing the entire Quran, that's why the ilm of entire Quran continues to stay in their soul, because of their practice. So because of their amal, the ilm stays, and the ilm, whoever has this amal and ilm over the entire Quran can show any miracle that he wants. So they can show any miracle, all the miracles of the previous prophets, plus much more than none of the previous prophets can do. Isn't that right? So this is all about the knowledge. And obviously, after knowledge, we practice, which is, that's how the ilm stays. If you don't practice, it's not going to stay with you. So ilm is an absolute must for every wasi and vicegerent. We are talking about the imam, who is the wasi of the Rasul. So the wasi must have in his spirituality the knowledge of the entire book, which is given to the Rasul for whom he is serving as the wasi. Is that clear? So obviously our imams knew the wahir and the batin, and the usul and the furu, and the tanzeel and the ta'weel of Quran. So this is the reason why they have the knowledge of the entire book with them. Now the fifth sifat. Fifth sifat, an attribute which is compulsory for every imam, is he has to be afdal ra'iyya, the most superior of his masses, most superior of the people of his time, people who are under his imamah. So if a prophet is sent for 100,000 people, he has to be superior among all those 100,000 people. If the Prophet is sent for his own family, he has to be superior than his own family. Isn't that right? Some of the Prophets were sent for their own families. Imam Ali alayhi salam, because Rasulullah is sent for the entire humanity. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So he is for the alameen. He's not for one person or two person or one nation or two nations. He's for everyone. Even the Prophets are under his command and under his banner. Didn't he say that Adamu wa man dunahu, Adam and all other than him, tahta liwa'i, they are under my banner. Isn't that right? The Prophet Adam and everyone after him are under the banner of Rasulullah. They are all under his control, his obedience. They all obey him. They are under his, they are wasat, he is the wasatatul fail, the means of transferring of all Allah's blessing towards all the Prophets and everybody else. So Prophets, Risalat is that inclusive, includes everyone. So now when we are talking about Imam Ali alayhi salam, who is the wasi of such a Prophet, his imamat, he should be afdal from every Prophet other than Rasulullah, because every imam has to be afdal from his ra'iyat and his masses. Isn't that right? And the ra'iyat and the masses which are under the risalat of Rasulullah are all the human beings, even the rest of the Prophets. So Imam Ali alayhi salam has to be afdal than all the Prophets of God other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
If the Imam is not afdal, let's suppose the opposite of afdal is mafdool. If Imam after Rasulullah is mafdool, and one of the members of the nation, of the masses, of the ra'iyat, is superior than them, then aqlan and shar'an, aqliyan and shar'iyan, and from the perspective of human intellect and the sharia, it is impossible for the mafdool, for the inferior, to lead the afdal. The mafdool never leads in Islam. The person who is leading has to be the superior. If you are not superior, you cannot lead. Let the person who is superior to lead. Isn't that right? So this Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi in his book has mentioned that Alhamdulillah alladhi قَدَّمَ الْمَفْضُولَ عَلَى الْفَاضِلِ. Imam Fakhruddin Razi is Mu'tazili. Isn't it right? He's not a Shia. He's a Mu'tazili. So he writes in the beginning of his book, the foreword and muqaddima of his book, that Alhamdulillah الَّذِي, all the praise belongs to Allah, الَّذِي قَدَّمَ الْمَفْضُولَ عَلَى الْفَاضِلِ, who gave preference to the mafdool, the inferior. He's talking about Hazrat Abu Bakr. Alhamdulillah, all praise of Allah belong to Allah, who brought the inferior to be muqaddam and taken a lead over the fadil, over Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was superior. لِمَصْلِحَةٍ اِقْتَضَاهَا التَّكْلِيفِ. for the sake of maslahat. So we don't believe in these kinds of maslahat. In Islam, the afdal, the most superior, is supposed to lead. The inferior is not supposed to lead. The imam has to be the most superior. That's the way it works. Inferior person leading is qabih and condemned, aqlan and shar'an. How Imam Ali al-Salam is the most superior? The dalil, the best dalil for Imam Ali al-Salam being the most superior is obviously the ayatul mubahala. Nothing can be a better dalil when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ حَاجَّكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ. You bring your children and so let's bring our children and your children. وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ. And our women and your women. وَأَنْفُسَنَا وَأَنْفُسَكُمْ. And ourselves and yourselves. Those people who are on the manzilat of your nafs, self. So those who are equal to yourself are called yourself. Isn't that right? So Prophet, in the place of the word anfusana of the ayat of Quran, ourselves, anfusana, ourselves. Prophet took Imam Ali alayhi salam only. He is the only person taken by the Prophet in the place of the word anfusana. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is the self. Nafs of Rasul. He is the self of Rasulullah. And Allama al-Hilli in his book says, nafs of Rasul musawihi. Anyone who is the nafs of Rasul is musawi and equal to the messenger. Except the Nubuwwat. Except the mansab of Nubuwwat and Risalat, everything else is exactly the same and equal. Equal, exactly the equal. And the Dalil is the Ayatul Mubahala for the Afdaliyat, so because Rasulullah is Afdal from everyone, so Imam Ali al-Salam is Musawi, except for the Nubuwwat, so he is also Afdal than everyone else other than Rasulullah. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Second of all, the second dalil, why Imam Ali alayhi salam is the most superior, is the first dalil is the ayat al-mubahala, and the second dalil why is that what our scholars have said that the Nabi صلى الله عليه وآله احتاج إليه في دعائه دون غيره من الأصحاب والأنساب. So Prophet احتاج إليه في دعائه. Prophet was standing in need. Prophet was standing in need. In the time of the need, in the hour of the need, Prophet was standing in need towards Imam Ali alayhi salam. So Prophet did not call anyone other than Imam Ali alayhi salam in the time of his need. And this is the dalil that Imam Ali alayhi salam is the most superior among all the rest of the Ashab. If there was anyone better than Imam Ali alayhi salam, Prophet would have called him for the help. And the third dalil, and I will end there, inshallah we'll continue later on. The third dalil why Imam Ali alayhi salam is the most superior is because of the fact that لَمْ يَدْعِ أَحَدٌ الْعِسْمَ. None of the rest ever claimed to be masoom. Do you find anyone of the Ashab and companions ever claiming, or any alim of their book, in any book of Islamic belief, claiming, or any history, that they were ma'soom? Actually, the opposite has been recorded and registered, that Hazrat Abu Bakr himself has said, فَإِنْ زِغْتُ لَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ.
فَإِنْ زِغْتُ فَقَوِّمُونِي. I am not the best among you. If I go become munharif, I go astray, then you straighten me. Isn't it right?
So the opposite has been registered and recorded. No one ever claimed in the Ashab, none of the Ashab ever claimed in the history, in any of the histories, none of them ever claimed the Ismat and infallibility, other than obviously Imam Ali Salam, who is the only one who is Ma'soom. I mean, so no one claimed other than Imam Ali Rasulullah, who is basically the only one, I mean to say, that who is the Ma'soom. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.